38. Eleanor coughed two more times. The second one sputtered off into a gargling sound. The term death rattle popped up in Eli's mind. He reached over and pushed, twisting the steering wheel hard to the left. Harry smacked his hand away, but the wounded Model A clattered off the dirt road. One of the headlights burst as Eleanor cracked through the sun-dried rails of the fence. The car rolled over the broken wood, pushed a few feet into the tall grass, and died with a gasp. Eli pushed Harry's hat at her and forced his door open before the engine went silent. "Come on." She glanced back toward the road, toward the approaching engine roar. "Do you think we can—" "Now, come on." She shoved her door open, followed him, caught up to him. They waded through the grass, cutting across the field in a beeline toward the church. Running through the tall grass felt like wading through water. Near the top, the light bobbing tufts rippled away from the slightest touch. Down beneath, though, the thick, heavy stalks resisted each movement. They pushed back. Eli glanced back and, over the top of the grass, saw the Hudson Hornet spin out onto the road behind them. Its tires sprayed dirt as it lined up on Eleanor. "Don't look," he told Harry. They raised their knees and slogged through the grass. It slowed every step, shortened every stride. Eli guessed they'd gone 100 feet at most. The heavy, hollow sound of two cars crashing together echoed over the field. Harry winced and glanced back. Her pace faltered. Eli saw her eyes and lips and could guess what had happened to Eleanor. "Come on," he said. "We can't stop." The Hornet's engine revved, its tires spun. Another wooden crack echoed across the field. A new sound muffled the growl of the engine, a rustling whisk, 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 whisk. Grass pushed under a bumper. "Move!" Eli yelled. In his mind's eye, he tried to plot out the Little League field, the field he'd been in hundreds of times growing up. They'd passed the eventual baselines and had to be closing on his old position. He glanced over at the back of the founder's house half a block away and tried to remember how it looked from left field. The Hornet roared past them, flattening a wide swath of grass behind it. It plowed through what would one day be third base and swung a wide turn that would have leveled the bleachers. The engine revved again and again. "This way," said Eli. He pointed and tugged on her sleeve. They loped through the field. "Where are we going?" "Trust me." The shape appeared through the tall grass, snaking across the field like a jagged slate line. The old stone wall. Not quite as old at the moment and much more solid. Eli didn't remember its stones being quite so dark, but maybe another century of New England weather would lighten them. The Hornet's growl grew behind them, along with the whisk, whisk, whisk of grass falling beneath the car. Harry swung her legs over the wall without missing a beat. Eli leaped and dove over it, trying his best to make it look like a stumble that had flipped his feet into the air. The grass on the other side cushioned his landing, and he rolled onto his side next to Harry. She dragged him to his feet, and they glanced back as they ran. The faceless man hit the brakes just in time. The Hornet slid into the wall, but had shed enough momentum that the impact made a clunk rather than a crash. The wall let out a series of heavy clicks as its slabs of rock shifted. One slid off with a long, dry scrape and thudded into the ground like an axe into a tree stump. Zero's mustached mask glared at them over the steering wheel, his arm stretched out the window. Harry tackled Eli into the grass and bullets whipped through the air above them. A few angled down to whisk through the grass. She rolled over, he pointed, and they crawled away as more bullets whipped around them. The gunfire stopped. The Hudson Hornet's engine rumbled again as it backed away through the grass. Eli raised his head.
"Of course it's Zeke," he muttered.
"You know him,"
Harry said.
"Will he come after us on foot or go around?"
Eli shook his head.
"There's an opening in the wall about 30 feet farther down. His car'll fit through with no problem."
"Does he know that?"
"He knows this place as well as I do. Maybe even better now that he's Zero, but we can hope."
Ahead of them stood a wide grove of saplings with a few full trees scattered among them, including two big pines. Some of them looked almost as thick as Eli's thigh, but most of them had trunks the size of Harry's wrists. Very few of them looked big enough to slow the Hornet if Zero chose to go straight through them. They ran for the trees. Eli tried to recall the lay of the land, the steep drop behind the Catholic Church, where the church would be someday, had a narrow path
up its slope, which always made a good landmark. Would it still be there? Would he have time to find the square rock? As if to make the point, the Hornet let out an angry growl from its engine.
"Run, Eli Teague," Zero bellowed. "Run while you can."
The grass thinned and they could move easier. Harry and Eli pulled themselves around the thin trees, swinging from left to right and back. They could almost run now. Another 50 or 60 feet separated them from the base of the slope. Eli couldn't see any sign of the path through the twiggy branches and patches of leaves. If he couldn't find the right spot, what other options did they have? Harry staggered to a halt against a tree and sucked in a breath.
"There's no way out, is there?"
she panted.
"We can't get away from him."
"We're not going to get away."
Her eyes opened wide. Behind them, the Hornet wailed out 4 triumphant blasts of its horn. The growl of its engine rolled across the field and through the gap in the wall. A crack echoed behind them as the big car plowed over a sapling and snapped it in half, crushing the small tree beneath it.
"Jesus," muttered Eli.
They lurched back into motion, weaving between the trees. They just ran. He ran away from Zeke, like he always did. Another crack echoed through the trees, and one more right after it. Zero slalomed the Hudson Hornet back and forth through the grove, smashing through the path of least resistance. Eli felt sure there was a cat-and-mouse aspect to it as well.
"I always knew one of them would get me,"
Harry panted.
"We're not going to die," Eli said.
"You just said..."
"I said we weren't getting away from him. Come on."
"What?"
Eli cut left and raced through the trees, and Harry raced after him. He hadn't come out here since he was 10 or 11, a couple of years after he'd first met Harry. He searched the ground ahead of him for the big, squarish rock he'd hung out on sometimes when Zeke and his buddies had claimed the bleachers. The rock that sat just a few yards from...
"There,"
said Eli, pointing at the stone. A few tufts of grass had disguised its shape. "Which meant..."
"Here."
"What?"
He led Harry between 2 narrow trees about 6 feet apart. He eyeballed each one and put them at maybe an inch thicker than the wooden fence posts. A few twiggy branches spread between them and a few more as thick as his thumb. He stopped between the trees, then turned toward the approaching car. It plowed over another sapling.
"We'll be safe here."
"What? No, we won't."
"Trust me."
Harry looked at the Hornet. It paused, just over 30 yards away, engine growling, pointed right at them. She could see nothing of it but grill and windshield.
"He's got a clear shot at us," she said. "In every way."
The idea dove deep into his mind. After all he'd seen and done over the past few weeks, there'd be an awful bitter poetry to dying in his hometown 100 years before his birth. To being killed by Zeke after all the fights and abuse and harassment. What if he'd been standing on his own crushed remains all the times he'd wandered out among the trees to... He reached over and grabbed her hand. "I know what I'm doing." As he said it, he glanced at the ground and pulled her back a few more steps. The Hudson Hornet revved its engine once, twice, and charged, crunching another tree beneath its wheels. 15, 20, 30 miles an hour. Harry's fingers crushed his. The big car filled their vision. Harry threw herself back and... Time paused once more for Eli. The 2 trees framed the glossy black Hornet in his vision. He could see the red Hudson crest set into the grill and pick out all 6 letters, along with the small ships and chess pieces on either side of the center triangle. The fender had 7 scrapes and 1 deep gouge from the stone wall, and the left headlight was cracked but still held together. Eli could see Zero's mask glaring at him through the glass, with its straight-line beard, wide brows, and snidely whiplash mustache. Even from this distance, and through the plastic mask, he could see the individual wrinkles on the faceless man's brow. The blank skin twisted into the closest it could get to a scowl, but starting to flatten out. At the very last instant, Zero had recognized the spot Eli'd led him to. Then time got back up to speed, and the Hornet hit the trees. The front end slipped between the two trunks. It bounced between them. The Hornet gouged forward a few more feet, and the big car went from 40 miles an hour to a dead stop in 1 second. The Hudson Hornet had a big steering wheel. Zero's body folded up and over it to slam into the windshield. The glass collapsed out of its frame. A few loose pieces went skittering across the hood. The faceless man wasn't flung from the car like some human missile, but he had enough momentum to slide down the hood to the front of the vehicle. Zero tried to push himself up, slipped, and fell to the ground with a thump. The Hornet's growl faded to a whine, and the engine died. Eli stood 8 feet from the front of the car. His body shuddered, urging him to run or attack while acknowledging it was too exhausted for either. Cold sweat soaked his shirt and pants. He hoped it was sweat soaking his pants. A few feet to the side, still clutching his hand in a death grip, Harry gasped out of breath. She'd thrown up her free hand to protect herself. The hand insisted on staying up.
How did you do that?
He took in a deep breath of his own. The smell of hot metal filled the air, and he could taste oil and gas in it. He turned and took 2 uneasy steps toward her.
History. What?
He waved a hand back at the trapped Hornet.
When we saw me, I remembered, back when I was a kid, a bunch of us would come out here and throw rocks at an old rust bucket stuck between these 2 trees. It had been there for about 100 years.
She stared at him, then at the Hornet. Eli shrugged, but wasn't sure his fatigued muscles actually followed through with the movement.
It just hit me a few minutes ago. I think it's one of those, what did John call them? A transparent paradox?
Harry snorted a breath through her nose.
His transparent aluminum defense, a predestination paradox.
We're lucky this is such a boring town, Eli said. If there was anything else to do, I wouldn't have been out here throwing rocks so often. She barked out a laugh.
You poor thing, she said. In my day, the kids only snuck out to the woods for a bit of bread and butter.
The term meant nothing, but her naughty smirk made him laugh anyway. A stick snapped behind him.
Stop laughing at me, growled Zero.